This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming out with a piece yesterday titled Dysfunction in Cleveland, Hugh Jackson's Paranoid Final Days and Baker Mayfield's Resilience. We welcome in on the hotline Robert Klemko to the show. How are you, Robert?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for coming on with us on short notice and all of that. I do want to ask you, as you've gotten a chance to spend even more time with the Cleveland Browns, and you'd spent considerable time with Baker Mayfield before the season started, and now you see him now. And I know you kind of chronicled this in your piece. How much have you seen in his evolution and throughout the entire season that should make Browns fans really excited, given all the adversity he's had to deal with this season?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a few things. I mean, obviously, it starts with on the field, and he's been really resilient in the face of, you know, a pretty insane pass rush in a lot of these games, and still been able to stand in the pocket and look downfield and make throws and make plays. I think you worry with any rookie quarterback that if he's playing behind a bad offensive line, that he's going to get gun-shy, that he's going to get trigger-happy and get discouraged. I mean, that's what is the consensus among people in the NFL about what happened to David Carr or a guy like Chad Henne. But you don't see any symptoms of that with Baker Mayfield. And I think off the field, you know, he had a propensity to kind of run his mouth a little bit in college, and he said some controversial things in the media during the pre-draft process that I think may have scared some people. But you look at, you throw him into probably the most dysfunctional situation in the NFL, at least in the first half of the season, where he's got a million things he could be complaining about, and he doesn't, and he says all the right things. He's treating the whole thing like he's a veteran, and I think that's the best that you could hope for.
Something that was interesting here, what you wrote here, Robert. Robert Klemko joining us on the show, Sports Illustrated, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, was you said, or you wrote, said a league source close to Dorsey, quote, he wanted someone who could put up with the dysfunction, end quote, talking about Baker Mayfield. Was there something in his head, do you believe there was something in his head going, okay, we're going to try to get as far as we can through this season, but this definitely has a chance to blow up right in our faces, and we need to be ready for such a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how any new GM in this situation could not think that if you have a head coach who was 1-31 in his previous two seasons. I mean, you're anticipating that there could be changes made, I think. You're not planning on it, right? And you don't have a date in mind that you're going to make a change. But you know that your rookie quarterback may have to deal with a coaching change in year one. And he had to deal with more than just the head coaching change. Obviously, he lost the offensive coordinator as well, and he's got the running backs coach now calling the plays. So I think he looked at that draft class, John Dorsey did, and his priority was to find the right player, you know, the right on-the-field product, a guy that he felt could have success in the NFL. And then his number two concern was to find the right mindset, a guy who could deal with, you know, a coaching change midseason if that occurred.
Well, did he not then, talking about John Dorsey, implore Jimmy Haslam to make a change at the end of the season? Or was this a scenario where it's the Browns, you don't know who the number one pick is going to be, John Dorsey can't tell them all who the number one pick is going to be, we might have to get this figured out after the season to find the best candidate with that quarterback who could, quote, put up with the dysfunction?
Yeah, you know, I think John was prepared for a scenario where Hugh Jackson remains as head coach. And I think he looked at that roster and said, I think a good head coach can not only win with this roster, but work with some of the people that have been brought in here to kind of supplement what he's been doing the last couple of years. Todd Haley is a good offensive coordinator, and it wasn't beyond the realm of imagination that he and Hugh Jackson could get along. I mean, people that knew both of them were a little bit skeptical about that in the first place, But I don't think anybody anticipated that Hugh would completely remove himself from, you know, the offensive meeting room and just for starters, not even learn Todd Haley's offense. And then when that offense only made marginal improvements and didn't make a complete turnaround, then try to insert himself into it in the final weeks with that, you know, in now infamous press conference where he says, I might have to jump in and take care of the offense because this is my expertise. Well, no one's forgotten that you called plays for the first 2 years when you won one football game. So that was a little bit bizarre to a lot of people. But to my point, I don't think John could have predicted that.
Robert Klepko, join us on the hotline. Boy, you had juicy tidbits in that piece about basically Hugh Jackson paying attention to every single word said in any Todd Haley press conference and then using some of that as ammo or to needle him later on down the road. I want to ask you, Robert, because Ken and I were ecstatic about the hire of John Dorsey. But I do have to ask, how could it get so bad in 8 weeks without any maybe interference or any attempt by the organization's leadership structure to try to prevent this from getting so bad that you had to fire both guys in 8 weeks?
Yeah, you know, I think John Dorsey and his staff are pretty hands-on. I mean, you see them around the building interacting with players, interacting with coaches. They're not people that are holed up in their offices watching film and just letting things happen beneath them. I don't doubt that there were probably attempts to reconcile what was going on between Todd and Hugh and that disconnect there. But I think that there's blame to go on both sides. I mean, I think that you could probably blame Todd Haley for some of his behavior and for not being open to a collaboration with Hugh. You know, I don't think it's very cut and dried. And that's why they did end up having to get rid of both guys. I mean, I think getting rid of both guys was John and Haslam's message that we don't want to blame any one person in this situation for the situation that the Browns are in right now. We understand that there's fault on both sides, and we feel like we have staff underneath these guys that's competent enough to keep this thing going.
When it comes to a brand-new head coach, and obviously the Browns got a head start on all these other teams in the NFL, you had another fascinating excerpt that I want to read here. You said, Haslam, who directed both the Jackson hire and the drafting of Manziel, has given Dorsey no assurances he'll go with the new GM's recommendation, according to two league sources. Okay, when I heard that and when any Browns fan heard that, Robert, we lost our mind because we think that they have a chance to make this right. They have a chance to do the right thing, and they've got the guy to do it in John Dorsey. And there was another report by Ian Rappaport over the weekend on Sunday that they were not going to go with a search firm like they have in recent years. And to me, that made sense. John Dorsey is the search firm. Why would that be the case? How in the world could we go down a path again where Jimmy Haslam would be the guy to try to make that decision?
You know, I don't think that it's in this team owner's personality to ever say that we're going to make a head coaching hire or we're going to make a first-round draft pick and it's all you, you know, to a first-year GM at least. And maybe if you're a Browns fan, you say, well, look at your record at picking head coaches and picking quarterbacks. Why don't you let somebody else handle this? But that's not who Jimmy Haslam is as an owner. There are plenty of owners like that in the NFL. Especially when they the first year that they hire a general manager. I think if you're a Browns fan, you just have to hope that Jimmy Haslam's influence is more of a light touch and not an overruling when they finally do decide on a candidate and John Dorsey makes, you know, what amounts to a recommendation.
How much of this is based on history for Jimmy? Because there was a time where he might have tried to trust Joe Banner and then that went to hell. There was a time where he might have trusted other people, and then those situations all went to hell. And here's a guy like John Dorsey who has previous experience, but, yeah, you try to trust a guy just like you tried to trust the other guys, and then things get a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's the flip side of the coin, right? And fans have to understand that John Dorsey has also never hired a head coach. I mean, Andy Reid was there before he got to Kansas City. He's outstanding at drafting. Outstanding at finding assistance, but this will be the first head coach that he gets to hire. It's not that Jimmy Haslam knows more than him, but I think that Jimmy Haslam, this was the best guy in terms of a GM that Jimmy Haslam could get, And that still doesn't mean he's infallible. And so he's sitting there thinking, I need to have some input in this process.
Robert Klemko joining us from Sports Illustrated. Find him on Twitter at Robert Klemko. Do you get the sense or do you know that Baker Mayfield liked Hugh Jackson?
I don't know. When I came to Berea, and I know a lot was made of my pre-draft series with Baker, where I wrote, I think, like a dozen stories, culminating in an SI cover story on him in the pre-draft. And it's funny, we've been having discussions here about trying to do that again this season, and we just can't think of anybody as interesting as Baker to try to pull that off with. But when I came to Berea, you know, I really wanted to get a feel for the organization, and I didn't want to lean on him as a source, and so we talked about restaurants. He talked about the Cleveland food scene and recommended some spots for me, and that was the extent of our conversation.
Robert Klemko joining us on the hotline. I do want to know, I know most fans here probably don't care anymore about Hugh Jackson. The book could be closed on that, but, you know, there was the thought that maybe he joins up with the Cincinnati Bengals again. They obviously hold him. They have some value, or I think he has some value with them, at least they have in the past. Do you think he's going to end up as an offensive coordinator again, or even a head coach ever again?
You know, I think that his path to being a head coach or an offensive coordinator is with Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. I know that he's still got allies there. I know that Mike Zimmer is fond of him. And if John DeFilippo goes on to be a head coach, you know, possibly in Cleveland, and which means the Vikings have had a really good season, then Mike Zimmer will have a little bit of leeway within that organization to hire a guy that's more or less considered a pariah in the NFL right now. But outside of that immediate Bengals coaching tree with Marvin Lewis, I don't see him getting that opportunity. There were people in Sashi Brown's front office that were wary of Hugh Jackson's reputation as a self-promoter, as somebody who was very ruthless in a professional sense and not somebody that most people walked away having enjoyed working with. And it was Jimmy Haslam that made the call to hire the head coach. And I think given how this has all imploded, and especially given how he's done interviews and with Cleveland.com, First Take, throwing as many people under the bus as he can, and blaming so many other people for, you know, his record in Cleveland, I think it would be an extremely difficult path for him to ever become a head coach again.
Do you have an opinion on who might be best for Baker in the future in terms of a head coach for the Browns in 2019 and beyond?
Yeah, you know, I see Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell, their names thrown around, both guys that have no experience on the professional level. I'm a little skeptical that John Dorsey is going to hire a head coach that has never led an NFL roster and will be learning the dynamics of coaching pros on the fly. You know, I think that there's still a culture change that needs to happen in Berea, and Hugh Jackson got that started to an extent. But there's still a culture change in terms of, you know, the things that winning teams do on a day-to-day basis that I think a college head coach will be hard-pressed to learn in just a number of months. So I honestly think he's going to go with somebody from that Kansas City Chiefs coaching line. I mean, all those guys are doing really well right now. You look at Matt Nagy up in Chicago. John has been beating the drum for Dave Tube for a number of years, the special teams coach in Kansas City. And, he wouldn't be the first special teams coach to be made an NFL head coach. Obviously, John Harbaugh is the big example in Baltimore. But if you did hire Dave Tube, then the offensive coordinator would matter a great deal, because you hope it's somebody that is at least really familiar with the Kansas City Chiefs offense or understands the spread concepts that Baker Mayfield is accustomed to and successful with.
Robert Klemko with us on the show. Final one from me. Do you believe that Baker will have any say-so in the next head coach, or should he have some say-so in who the next head coach could be?
I don't think he will, and I don't think he should. You know, maybe if you've got a veteran quarterback that's been there 6-7 years and he's on his second or third contract and you talk to him a little bit about who he likes and what kind of schemes he likes as he's been watching film around the NFL. But Baker Mayfield doesn't know. He doesn't know what makes a good NFL head coach. I think you'd sooner talk to five or six other guys on that roster about who they like than you would Baker Mayfield.
Great stuff, Robert. We really appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can do this again when there's not as much dysfunction.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is. Great stuff. Robert Klemko there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I know Ken and I have some more thoughts on that. And also, when we come back, are you in for maybe a bus tour to Geneva with the Ball family?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.